The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
These are truly strange days on planet Earth. How many in first world societies like the United States actually have any desire whatsoever to investigate unpleasant facts, to consider those facts, and to do their part for the greater good based on the implications of what they've learned? The unfortunate answer to this question is all too clear if one looks honestly at the conduct of the vast majority. And for the record, I'm not speaking about those people that are mired with a day-to-day struggle for their basic survival, those in third world nations or those in our country that are being oppressed or having great difficulty simply surviving. I'm not speaking about them. I'm speaking about the vast majority that is not in such a position in first world nations that, in spite of having every opportunity to learn the truth, they want no part of it. This is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org with the Global News Hour for August 4th, 2017. This is a commercial-free one-hour news program brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is also aired on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network. My deepest gratitude to Gary Knoll for providing that network and for everything that Gary Knoll does. How many people know who Gary Knoll is? And if you don't know who he is, you should investigate what he is, who he is, what he has done for the greater good, how much he has dedicated his life to that. If we had more people like that in our world, perhaps we would not be flying blind into the abyss as we are right now. And that's exactly where we're headed. I want to thank also, along the same lines of gratitude, the Jim Fair event personnel and organizers that have been immense allies in this battle to expose and halt climate engineering and lethal vaccination dangers and government criminality. The current Jim Fair event is in Pleasanton, California at the Alameda County Fairgrounds this weekend. Show your support for the Jim Fair group, who has shown great courage to stand up and make their voice heard in the attempt to try to bring dire truths to the light of day. Again, Pleasanton, California, the Alameda County Fairgrounds in Pleasanton, California. You can get free materials there. In regard to the critical effort to sound the alarm in Northern California, the Redding Awareness Event on July 28th at the Red Line Hotel, my deepest gratitude to all those who came from immense distances in many cases to attend this event, from as far away as UK, France, Florida, Kansas, Ohio, Washington. So many people went to such great effort to come from so far away to attend this event to further their education on recent science data, frontline data, to help them educate others around them, to gather the materials they need to help educate others around them. And the presentations from this event will be posted as soon as we can edit and prepare them for posting. So we'll get that data out as quickly as possible. My deepest gratitude to former CIA officer Kevin Shipp for attending this event, putting on an incredibly powerful presentation, as well as Dr. Sherry Tenpenny for her efforts at constantly updating data, sounding the alarm with recent peer-reviewed study that now proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that vaccinations are harming our children. In fact, the deeper you go into this rabbit hole, the more alarming it is. And how can we live in a society that penalizes whistleblowers, that shuts them up, jails them, silences them, gag orders them, and we have societies that are willing to accept that, willing to turn two blind eyes to blatant, glaring truths from endless wars of aggression, from false flag events like 9/11, from climate engineering taking place in our skies. It's decimating our biosphere, toxifying every breath we take. Issue after issue after issue that our society is willing to ignore, and we have a government that is horribly and irreparably criminally corrupt. That in the case of vaccinations, for example, as I brought up in previous programs, when we have over a dozen former Centers for Disease Control scientists trying to sound the alarm, trying to present thousands of documents before Congress that prove government agencies that the public falsely believes are protecting them are actually hiding critical dangers from them. And we have a government that won't let these scientists present those documents before Congress. How far off the edge have we already gone? And it's up to us. It's not up to someone else, somewhere else, to move the ball up the field. It's up to us. And if you're one of the many that's sitting the bench, that's not going to any effort to try to find out what's going on, let alone do anything about it, while other people are traveling from across the globe to attend the event in Reading, which, again, my deepest gratitude to them for making this event a success and a leap forward in trying to share awareness. But for those who aren't doing anything, why not? What excuse do you have for not trying to find out what's happening in the world around you and trying to find out what issues are horrifically affecting all of us, the planet on which our lives depend, and our children? Why aren't you trying to find out? How many parents just go along with the status quo of poisoning our children with toxic vaccinations that contain known neurotoxins like aluminum and barium because they don't want to be seen as non-compliant bricks in the wall for the criminal power structure and the medical-industrial complex? Parents that just go along because they don't want their daily routines disrupted by taking a stand to protect the health of their children. And what kind of a parent doesn't even take the time to investigate the facts? Worse, what kind of physician or pediatrician considers it more important to make profits from administering toxic vaccinations than to uphold their Hippocratic oath to do no harm? And how many so-called patriots in the Shasta County region didn't bother to come and hear what decorated CIA officer Kevin Shipp had to share about just how criminally corrupt the U.S. government is? And how many bother to actually investigate the lethal and illegal climate engineering atrocities happening over our heads every single day? How many self-described patriotic, self-described spiritual, self-described concerned and caring parents and citizens behave in exactly the opposite manner of what they claim to be, showing no honor, no virtue, no courage? Parents and citizens who, in regard to actually doing the right thing, don't. How many? And though people in third world nations, as I stated earlier, are now increasingly focused on simply trying to survive from day to day, the vast majority in first world nations are focused still on material acquisitions, football games, and all too often false programmed patriotism. The vast majority of first world nations don't want to be bothered with the truth, even now, especially now, when the walls are closing in from every side, the truth is shunned. This is the sea of insanity we're all swimming in, but consider and remember this, that hiding from the truth or willfully ignoring the truth won't save you. I've said that over and over and over, and for so many people, they find some way of discounting or denying what is glaringly, inarguably unfolding around all of us. From the dying forests, the dying oceans, the completely contaminated atmosphere in which we almost never see blue skies anymore. And it's not just the smoke. It's happening all over the world. If you want to see those pictures of what's happening all over the world, go to the geoengineeringwatch.org photo gallery page on Facebook and look at photos from all over the planet of completely decimated skies from the ongoing climate engineering insanity and the population below largely accepting, without questioning or investigating, the official false narrative that it's all just condensation. Even though we have film footage of these aircraft turning on and off, film footage or photographs of the nozzles mounted on the pylons aimed into the exhaust jet stream to make this look like condensation, we have congressional documents, presidential documents, on and on. I've covered this over and over. How many want to investigate that? And I would remind everyone, when the planet no longer supports life, game over for all of us. And what about the media? Did the North State media cover this Reading event, or the last one, or the one before that? Events that had up to 1,000 people in attendance with former government scientists, in this case, former CIA whistleblower, a physician, Dr. Sherry Tinpenny, recognized internationally for her work on exposing the most current data on vaccination dangers. Was there any coverage at all from North State media? Absolutely none. Zero. And that's to be expected because they've stated on the record, in the case of the Record Searchlight, our North State newspaper, and KRCR, our local ABC Channel 7 affiliate, that they will not cover these issues because they're paid not to cover them. In fact, let's look at our local Channel 7 news anchor, Mike Mangus, who, while engaged in open online email conversation with about 50 local citizens involved, was faced with a message from a former NASA engineer that's working directly for geoengineeringwatch.org now. In fact, I contacted him through his willingness to make his voice heard in this conversation with Channel 7 News anchor Mike Mangus, in which he backed up everything that geoengineeringwatch.org has stated on the record about the climate engineering atrocities. Former NASA engineer. And what did ABC News anchor Mike Mangus do? He simply ran for cover with the standard knee-jerk programmed idiocy of conspiracy theory. If that's your defense, if using the conspiracy theory programmed knee-jerk response is the best you can do when someone tries to present facts, then you're a massive part of the cancer. And that's why we're in this position, because you're not willing to investigate. And when our media is showing criminal denial of dire issues that affect every single one of us, is that not criminal? Should we not hold them criminally responsible when it's their job to inform the public and they're doing everything to make sure the public doesn't know what's happening, doesn't know what's unfolding, selectively picking news stories that back up the power structure's agenda, and that's all they do? And when will the population hold them accountable? Because these media people couldn't do what they're doing if the population didn't facilitate it. It comes back down to all of us, doesn't it? As I go through headlines, let's keep this in mind. Biosphere implosion and resource depletion forces the hand of those in power. In every nation, tyranny and the law of the jungle will rule the day as societal collapse accelerates around the globe. It's already underway. In several dozen countries around the globe, it's already underway. And what country has helped to fuel that? The United States of America. People talk about the refugee crisis, and it is a crisis. But how many of those refugees were a direct result of U.S. quote-unquote intervention programs around the globe that were told in such incredibly simplistic and false narratives that this is all about freedom and democracy? And if you're waving your flag and still pretending it's all about freedom and democracy, you're a part of the cancer. Take a good long look in the mirror. You're living in a world of delusion and lies, and apparently happy to stay there if that's the best you can do is wave your flag and not investigate anything. That's not patriotism at all. On a final note, before I get to the unpleasant but necessary to know headlines, all of us have the power to alter the equation, to affect the whole for the better, but we must be willing to try to do our individual part. Like so many that just attended the Reading event at the Red Lion Hotel, again from all over the world, people willing to do their part, willing to make that event a success and a leap forward in the effort to reach a critical mass of awareness on critical issues. But there are so many that are still in denial, not willing to do their part. If that's the case with you, whoever's listening to this broadcast, don't remain in that place. Become a part of the cure, not a part of the disease. And there are detailed instructions on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org that give straightforward input on how each of us can do our part for the greater good, how we can each effectively and efficiently share credible data with those around us, with those in our communities. We're not helpless. But to make a difference, you must first try. And we must remember this also. Those that are behind so many of the atrocities happening around the globe, behind the current paradigm that's leading us straight to certain near-term planetary omnicide, are not gods. They are not gods. They're twisted, demented, psychotic individuals that have their own agenda, their own craving for power that is so total that they do not care about the consequences to the entire planet or the entire web of life. That's the case. And there are so many order followers, people we all know, that we all live with, that are passively helping to facilitate the insanity that's enveloping us all in this very dark cloud. If you know or work with people like that, it's up to you to try to present credible data to them. And regardless of the resistance, regardless of the ostracizing from families or circles of friends or business associates, it's still up to us to present that data. Here are headlines that highlight the desperation of a dying empire, and that's exactly what the United States of America is. The delusion needs to go away. All the we are good, they are bad, mindless, simplistic, false propaganda needs to go away. We need to look at what has been done in our name all over the globe. And I'm not saying other countries or other leaders are in any sense benevolent. No. But if we look at the totality of what our country has done under the guise of freedom and democracy, which is not the case, it's not the case. The facts don't support such a conclusion. And what's happening now further exposes the true motives behind our government and what they're doing around the globe. Like this headline, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has ordered his department to redefine its mission and issue a new statement of purpose to the world. Listen carefully to this story. The draft statement under review right now is similar to an old mission statement, except for one thing. Any mention of promoting democracy is being eliminated. According to an internal email that went out Friday, the State Department's Executive Steering Committee convened a meeting of leaders to draft a new statement on the department's purpose, mission, and ambition as part of the overall reorganization of the State Department and USAID. That acronym, by the way, USAID, stands for the U.S. Agency for International Development, and it operates subject to foreign policy guidance from the President, the Secretary of State, and the National Security Council. And USAID operates in Africa, Asia, Latin America, the Middle East, and Eastern Europe. By the way, all places that are immersed in chaos, because the organization itself is designed to further the, quote, interests of the U.S. And what does that mean, U.S. interests? It means anything that helps support the empire. It's not about freedom, democracy, civil rights, nothing. It's not about any of that. It's about resources, ultimately, securing those resources for the empire. From this report continues, the draft statements were being circulated for comment Friday and could change before being finalized. The State Department's draft statement on its purpose is, quote, listen to this, we promote the security, prosperity, and interests of the American people globally. Anything about justice, democracy, or human rights? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's about promoting prosperity and interests of the American people. And it's not about the American people, by the way, either. It's about the power structure. Power structure doesn't give a damn about the American people. If you don't believe that, you haven't been grounded in reality. The State Department's draft statement on its mission is, quote, lead America's foreign policy through global advocacy, action, and assistance to shape a safer, more prosperous world. Again, nothing about freedom or democracy. The State Department's draft statement on its ambition is, quote, the American people thrive in a peaceful and interconnected world that is free, resilient, and prosperous. This is all semantics. Absolutely a facade. Our whole world is a facade. The government is simply state-sponsored mafia that drafts these little bits of propaganda to galvanize the American population for their mission of expanding the empire. That's what all this is about. And when you have people like Tillerson, the former CEO of the biggest fossil fuel company in the world, now dictating government policy, what do you think his motives are? And people who are still waving their Trump flags as well. When will you wake from your delusion? Trump is just another actor in the play, like the rest that I name every week, every time. Bush, Clinton, Obama, the rest, all part of the grand facade. Final statement from the report about Tillerson's revision of the United States' mission statement. Former senior State Department officials from both parties stated that eliminating, quote, just and, quote, democratic from the State Department's list of desired outcomes is neither accidental nor inconsequential. Of course not. But how many of our news mainstream media covered that? In the meantime, around the world, along the lines of everything I just discussed and what the U.S. is really doing, facilitating behind the curtain, overtly and covertly in many cases, is destabilizing nations. We know the Middle East is in chaos. South America is headed the same direction. And there is an incredible amount of U.S. intervention in all of these stories. While we're hearing the over and over Russia interfering with U.S. elections by exposing Hillary Clinton's crimes, what an absurd premise for global aggression and pushing the population toward World War III. How absurd when we have literally nearly 100 documented cases of the U.S. intervening in other countries, not just passively, but aggressively, to destabilize their nations, to dictate their elections. The list is endless, nearly endless. You have to research it to believe it. Back to the headlines. Venezuela descending into total chaos along with dozens of other countries around the globe. The U.S. is fueling the chaos in South America as in many other regions. Another headline along these lines. U.S. places yet more illegal sanctions on Russia while showing no proof whatsoever of the crimes Russia has been accused of. We're back to the collapse of empire, which is what the sort of desperate moves we see being made are fueled by, and these sanctions are no different. So we have sanctions against Russia, against a number of other nations, which I'll get to for a moment, and these are increasing signs of desperation. From this report, it's so absurd. The biggest rogue nation on earth, I'm reading directly from the report, illegally bombing and killing civilians in several countries simultaneously, covertly arming terrorist proxies in the Middle East, and a rampant subversion interferer in foreign elections around the world, as I just alluded to a moment ago. The U.S. has the audacity to lecture others about this type of behavior, resorting to financial arm-twisting itself that makes a mockery of international laws and trade rules. That's what our country does. Very historically documented. Final statements from this report. This week in the U.S. House of Representatives, a vote overwhelmingly passed to approve tougher new sanctions on Russia. The Senate is expected to rubber stamp the bill, and then President Trump will, and has now, of course, signed it into law. President Trump going along with everything the power structure wants him to go along with. What has Trump done that he said he would do other than gut environmental regulation and press on with the agenda of the fossil fuel military industrial complex? That's what Mr. Trump represents. And for those people who continue to astoundingly blindly believe that he's some sort of savior, total delusion. Same with those who felt that about Obama, who won the Nobel Peace Prize, which was an astounding display of hypocrisy to give him that prize. Russia's deputy foreign minister stated how deplorable it was to pass these new punitive measures on the country, Russia's banking and defense sectors. He said it was a calculated step to destroy any prospect of normalizing ties between the U.S. and Russia. Exactly what Trump said he wouldn't do, correct? And now he claims to be reluctantly doing it. When can people see through the facade? Continuing, the Russian foreign minister said, quote, "It is beyond common sense that American legislators know no restraint in their anti-Russia zeal, and they are, quote, out of control, in short, collectively insane. We are swimming in a sea of insanity when the planet's life support systems are imploding, and all our so-called government does is to ramp up the military-industrial complex, ramp up the environmental destruction by trying to access in any way possible more fossil fuel, no matter how many underground reservoirs they destroy by fracking wells, disposing of fracking fluid. This is all part of Trump's promises to make America energy independent. Mr. Trump, how much good will that energy independence do us on a planet that no longer supports life? How many people know what a fracking wastewater injection well is? Just drilling holes into the earth to pump in millions of gallons of unimaginably toxic waste into the planet where it pollutes everything below ground. And we have people who blindly support this because they feel this is what it takes to keep them driving their Winnebagos or whatever else they're doing that they feel they can't stop doing. So they support things like fracking or stealing oil from other countries, countries that can't even afford to feed themselves, sending their food to us to keep our stores stocked up, to keep the American population pacified until the last possible moment. That's exactly what's happening. And so many don't see that. So many. Few sane people from this report, few sane people apart from U.S. politicians and media pundits would welcome a further deterioration in the retaliations between the world's two nuclear superpowers. And the truth be told, Moscow has up to now shown great patience and amiability to try to improve bilateral ties, but the U.S. political class has shown no interest whatsoever in pursuing any reconciliation. It's like it has a death wish. And behind this story, again, consider, this all leads back to biosphere implosion, all of it. The power structure can't hide that much longer. More headlines will come. I'll get to some of those in a moment. But many more besides what I'll get to today are going to come. The biosphere implosion is accelerating by the day, and all these geopolitical maneuverings focus around that. They focus around a power structure that's incredibly fearful to begin with, and increasingly so, and now more desperate than ever, more dangerous than ever, more insane than ever, and that's what we're seeing play out on the geopolitical field. But it all goes back to biosphere implosion. And if you live in Northern California, where this show is broadcast live, and you can't see that the environment is imploding, you're completely disconnected from nature, completely. From the trees, the insects, the warming streams and rivers that have increasing algae blooms, fish die-offs, our oceans are now, our shorelines, in many cases, lifeless. And we have photographs of shorelines covered with dead seals, whales, dead birds, kelp forests disappearing. If you don't know by now that the biosphere is imploding, you're completely disconnected from reality. And if you think we don't need a habitat to survive on this planet, that we only need Walmart and Costco and McDonald's, you'll soon find out how sadly mistaken you were. Back to this report, American lawmakers endorsing the latest sanctions were almost foaming at the mouth, labeling Russia an enemy and citing unhinged accusations against Moscow for meddling in the last year's presidential elections, also for destabilizing Ukraine and propping up the Assad regime, as if that's what the Syria issue is about. It's about pipelines, about oil, it's about everything I already covered. All the same bottom line common denominators. The country where the American CIA has been, this is Syria referring to, the country where the American CIA has been propping up head-chopping jihadist terrorists for the past 6 years. That's reality. Same with Saudi Arabia. The head of the UN Human Rights Council now, thanks to the U.S.'s vote, Saudi Arabia, head of the UN Human Rights Council, who chops the heads off of political dissenters and hangs their bodies, their headless bodies, from cranes. So if you're waving your flag around, don't forget those details either. That's what our country's doing. Another headline. U.S. slaps sanctions on 7 Pakistan entities for acting against U.S. national security. What's national security mean? Military-industrial complex. Not about you or me, freedom or democracy, none of that. The U.S. has slapped sanctions on 7 Pakistani entities linked to the country's missile program for acting contrary to American national security, reflecting a downturn in ties between the two countries. No surprise. The desperate empire is lashing out against everyone. Guess who gave Pakistan their nuclear weapons? Does anyone think that was sane? Should we have helped Pakistan to have nuclear weapons? Just like the U.S. set up Osama bin Laden and the rest, and not that bin Laden had anything to do with 9/11, which we know is a complete lie. But nevertheless, we've seen again and again throughout history, the U.S. has no problem arming dangerous rogue nations, terrorists, whatever suits the U.S. agenda for the moment. Regardless of the consequences, that's what our government does. And how about the fabricated North Korea threat that's being pushed by military-industrial complex criminals like Dianne Feinstein, whose husband is in the defense industry? What a surprise. How easy is it to see through this constant demonization of any nation that doesn't toe the line for the biggest global bully of all, the United States of America? And when we have people in our government who are invested in the defense industry, and that's so many of them, what an immense conflict of interest that is. When we have people supposedly caring for our health, like our pediatricians, who are completely invested in the medical, industrial, pharmaceutical industry, often to the tune of 6 figures or more, if they administer the full set of vaccinations to their innocent child patients. What an immense conflict of interest it all is. All going back to the dollar, to the profit. But behind that, there's even deeper agendas going on that go far beyond profit. It's important to remember that as well. But here we have again Dianne Feinstein and others, Dianne Feinstein, pushing the North Korea lie as if North Korea could really threaten the U.S. What an absurd lie that is. A country that can't even feed itself. So now we have not only Russia sanctions, not only Pakistan sanctions, we have North Korea sanctions as well, and now perhaps China sanctions. And these are all signs of an empire that is desperate and dying. And that's what's being carried out right now with all these sanctions. From this report on the North Korea sanction in China, the U.S. may target Chinese companies now as part of the North Korea sanctions. An administration official said this week, speaking to a U.S. Senate Foreign Affairs Subcommittee Tuesday, Susan Thornton, acting Assistant Secretary of the State Department's East Asia Bureau, said that, quote, the Chinese are now very clear that we're going to go after Chinese entities if need be. Thornton's testimony came as the House of Representatives was voting on a sweeping bill with new sanctions targeting Russia, Iran, and North Korea. In regard to Iran, I want to remind everyone, in 230 years, they've invaded exactly no one. In the last 50 plus years, the U.S. has invaded and or occupied some 70 countries, something in that range. Who's the aggressor? Who's the aggressor? Another headline, Russia and the U.S. could be partners in climate change in action. This is important because in spite of all the apparent conflict between the U.S. and Russia, some handshaking going on behind the curtain, isn't there? And that's the case with climate engineering also between the U.S., Russia, and China, all of them colluding, cooperating, and assisting each other in the cover-up of massive global climate engineering programs. So no matter how dire the conflicts between these nations seem to be on the surface, there's a lot of collusion going on behind the scenes. Same with the fossil fuel industry. From that report, again, Russia and the U.S. could be partners in climate change in action. It says the only big emitter to not ratify the Paris Climate Agreement, Russia, may find it easier to slough off climate action with the U.S. matching its oil-focused view. And what's part of the oil-focused view? Climate engineering. If you can baffle the population into believing that there's nothing wrong with the climate by creating massive engineered cooldowns, as we see happening right now, in the eastern two-thirds of the country, and that's going to continue on. A massive cool down in a country that's undergoing meltdown, that's a result of climate engineering. I posted a very in-depth article on this, and I hope everyone will take the time to look at the data in that article, including the maps and the statistics. It's under the recent and top stories section on geoengineeringwatch.org, specifically about frying the U.S. West in order to cool the U.S. East. I've covered this over and over. The scenario has been done over and over. And this is a result of climate engineering. Russia, China, and the U.S. all participating in this, and many other nations, whether actively or passively. So back down to the biosphere implosion, the countries that are cooperating with that, the leaders that are cooperating with that, and any discussion of the climate within these nations, within any groups, there can't be any legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering. And there can't be any legitimate discussion about climate engineering without discussing chemical ice nucleation and engineered cool downs. So we have, again, the U.S. and Russia, because they're both completely dependent on fossil fuels, colluding and cooperating. No matter what the surface conflict appears to be, that's what's happening behind the scene. A reminder, in the end, what does all the industrialized, militarized society, theatrics, and idiocracy come down to? Remember and consider, as I already stated, the exploding desperation in so many parts of the world and with so many power centers is rooted in the imploding biosphere and the desperate struggle to secure remaining resources. That is the bottom line. And about the state of our climate, the state of our planet's life support systems, here's a headline. Climate change to cause humid heat waves that will kill even healthy people. If warming is not tackled, levels of humid heat that can kill within hours will affect millions across South Asia within decades, analysis finds. Now, why does our media, or the UK media, Western media, always mention this could happen somewhere else? Because then Americans or other Western nation populations feel, oh good, it won't affect me. as if somehow half the boat can sink. Is that a ludicrous notion or not? I mentioned this cartoon before because it's really, it shows the mentality of much of the population. It shows a boat sinking and there's two men in the back of the boat that's already underwater bailing, and there's two men in the front of the boat that's lifting up in the air because the back of the boat's sinking. And the two men in the front of the boat that are in the air say, oh good, our half of the boat isn't sinking. That's about what this headline states. Why would it only create heat that can kill in Asia? Why wouldn't it happen here? Is this not one planet? Or is there some magical division or separations with what happens to each country when you're talking about the atmosphere? No, there's not. We have to learn to look through these kinds of half-truth headlines. Headlines that don't mention climate engineering and headlines that imply, oh, the problem's going to be somewhere else, not here. A lie. That's a lie. It's happening here right now. And in regard to heat, also, by the way, in the Western meltdown that's occurring right now, high-pressure heat domes happening from the network of global ionosphere heaters, which include HAARP, that can and are creating massive high-pressure domes by transmitting immensely powerful microwave signals to the ionosphere, which causes an electrical chain reaction, heats it radically, causes compressing air below, and that heats the air, makes a high-pressure heat dome, which spins the jet stream clockwise, which in the case of what's happening in the U.S. right now, allows the weather makers to push moisture up and over the west and then back down into parts of the U.S. east where it's chemically nucleated and cooled. Thus, we have the west frying and the eastern two-thirds of the country under an engineered cool-down. And you have to see the latest NOAA maps to really believe the scenario that's unfolding right now. Those maps are on the article I mentioned at geoengineeringwatch.org. This is a profoundly desperate act by the climate engineers to create a massive engineered cool-down area to convince all the people that live in this area that everything must be fine with the climate. Even though fires are burning things down all over the globe, if you at least temporarily alter the conditions outside someone's own reality by a dense layer of cool air that's caused from chemical ice nucleation, which helps create the massive hail that we see happening all over and the weather whiplash scenarios. But if you can create these cool downs, you continue the confusion and division of the population. And that's exactly what's unfolding now. On that note, and protecting our planet, here's an absurd headline that fits into the equation from last week. NASA is hiring a planetary protection officer to protect Earth from alien harm. This report states, want to save the planet? You could apply for NASA's Planetary Protection Officer role. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration is currently looking for someone with a secret security clearance to ensure alien life form or an organic constituent and biological contamination. That's the form of alien life form they're speaking about. Doesn't make its way back in a spaceship. Now, consider this. NASA, who's nothing more than a branch of the military-industrial complex, a part of the insanity, puts out headlines like this. So they need to save us from this type of alien invasion. The only thing the planet needs protection from is the human race. That's all. The human race has become an absolute cancer on the planet. And if you don't believe that, or so many people who try to put all the blame on those in power, and they deserve an immense amount of blame. They deserve to be tried and convicted in Nuremberg-type trials, and all those who help facilitate them, the order followers and so forth too. But how much of our society is actively facilitating this insanity because they're going along? Because they won't learn what's happening, they won't stand up for what's happening, they blindly wave their flags, they blindly inject their children with toxic vaccinations, they don't care about the climate engineering going on above their heads, they don't care about the fracking, they don't care about the military adventures overseas. So long as their lives, their parties, their personal pursuits of pleasure continue until the last possible moment, that's what many people care about. And that's a huge part of the problem. So again, the only thing the planet needs protection from is the human race. And about climate engineering, I want to read this report. Martin Bunsey, a Rutgers philosopher and climate change expert, points out that the available facts regarding climate engineering paint an insurmountable ethical problem for geoengineering, that's climate engineering. In medicine, he writes, you can test a vaccine on one person, putting that person at risk without putting everyone else at risk. But with geoengineering or climate engineering, you can't build a scale model of the atmosphere or tint off part of the atmosphere. As such, you are stuck going directly from a model to full-scale planetary-wide implementation. In short, you could not conduct a meaningful test of these technologies without enlisting billions of people as guinea pigs all over the globe for years, which is why science historian James Fleming calls geoengineering schemes untested and untestable and dangerous beyond belief. So there we have the lies of James Fleming, if anybody who knows who he is, I do certainly. Towing the line, pretending it's not happening. Same thing with Martin Bunsey. All people who, perhaps because they're afraid of their lives, tow the lie for the power structure, pretending that climate engineering hasn't already been deployed 70 years ago without the knowledge or consent of populations. And we have, in fact, all been guinea pigs in a mass experiment on the entire web of life on planet Earth that's called climate engineering, with consequences that are irreparable, going on now. But you see how many media sources are pointing out how insane climate engineering is, but not admitting it's already going on. Weather update from around the globe. Weather whiplash again everywhere. Silvery white skies over even the western U.S. It's not all smoke. It's not all smoke. In fact, Weather Channel repeatedly covered the fact that the record heat in the U.S. West was reduced to some degree due to the particulates in the air. But as I stated, those particulates are not just from smoke, as the Weather Channel paid liars would have us believe. Satellite images prove that massive jet aircraft aerosol spraying is occurring in the skies all along the West Coast and especially offshore. And all of this drifts onshore and mixes with the smoke. It's not just smoke. How many times have we had the silvery white skies with no fires burning anywhere? And the fires provide cover for the climate engineers, because if there's a fire burning anywhere, everybody assumes, oh, gee, it's just smoke. That's why I can't see any blue sky ever. When have we seen any blue sky? Any of us? Really, truly blue sky, especially toward the horizons, especially in the mornings or evenings. We don't see it anymore. About the fires, about the global burn down, while they're engineering a massive cool down in parts of the U.S. to further bamboozle the population into confusion and division in this true state of the climate. Wildfires, here's the headline. Wildfires force thousands to evacuate in southern France. Another headline. Portugal wildfires wreak havoc in the country. And all those fires fuel feedback loops, which are further warming the planet. And in regard to the fires, they're happening all over the globe, in the western U.S. especially, British Columbia fires where they haven't been seen before. Climate engineering fuels fires by disrupting the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle, depositing toxic rain into soils, which poisons root systems and kills trees, shredding the ozone layer. Climate engineering is destroying the ozone layer, thus massively intense ozone or UV radiation is bombarding the planet and all of us and killing trees and foliage. Climate engineering fuels forest fires by creating more dry lightning because it creates an electrically conductive atmosphere. Climate engineering fuels the forest fires by coating the foliage with the incendiary heavy metal dust that settles down on the foliage. From every direction, climate engineering is fueling the forest fires that continues to fuel the global planetary meltdown. We're on a freight train of total insanity, completely off the rails. And climate engineering is fueling so much of this. And another headline that relates to also what climate engineering is doing to the atmosphere and thus impacting the ground below. Here's the headline. Experts warn gas pipes are in real danger from exploding tundra. From that report, Russia's leading expert on methane explosions on tundra tells the Siberian Times that in some places, swelling tundra jacks up gas pipes. They're seeing this from pingos. These are the swelling, thawing methane deposits in Arctic tundra and the seafloor that are exploding with violent force into the atmosphere, expelling methane into the air column, which rises to the upper layers of the atmosphere and spreads out, covering the planet like a layer of glass. More than any other atmospheric gas, methane may soon determine our common future as it saturates the upper atmosphere. We're seeing methane counts as high as 3,000 parts per billion, and consider that the planet has not been over 700 parts per billion for several million years. We're talking about exponential changes in very dire greenhouse gases. So what we're seeing is that's affecting so many downstream issues, even including possibly exploding gas pipelines in tundra and seafloors. The unstable tundra, from this report, the unstable tundra is due to the release of underground methane that had been frozen in permafrost for millennia but is now thawing due to rapidly rising temperatures in the Arctic, Over the last 3 years, several methane explosions in the Yamal region have created huge craters, some up to 50 meters deep. You have to see the pictures of these to really digest it. What's our government doing? What's Mr. Trump doing about these increasing biosphere issues? Here's a headline. Scott Pruitt's crimes against nature. Trump's EPA chief is gutting the agency, defunding science, and serving the fossil fuel industry. Why is that a surprise? Trump's whole cabinet is stacked with industry banking officials. Is he draining the swamp? No, he's not draining the swamp. He's adding more swamp creatures to the swamp. That's what Trump's doing. He's a part of the problem. He's simply a prop in the play. If he was a risk to the power structure, he would already be dead, just like Kennedy died a week after he truly drew a line in the sand with the power structure. And we have those like Al Gore pretending that they're somehow alluding to the cure. And Gore, in so many ways, is also lying and deceiving, just like the rest. Gore continues with his immense hypocrisy, but that doesn't mean the damage to the climate and biosphere is not real. Now, consider that Mr. Gore, in his newest film, I understand, claims that, don't worry, we can fix it all. We can tech our way out of this. We just need to have more solar panels. We all need to buy a Prius and so forth. And that's a lie. You could shut everything off tomorrow. We are going to hit the wall. Industrialized society has radically overshot the planet's ability to sustain the current paradigm, and we are going to hit the wall. We're hitting it now. So when someone like Gore comes out and in a certain way tries to pacify the population, yes, he's pointing out some dire data, but the data he's pointing out is actually the reality on the ground is far worse than anything Mr. Gore is pointing out. And then he tries to paint a rosy picture with, don't worry, we can tech our way out of this. So everybody goes home from the theater feeling like all is okay. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. And when Gore owns stock in the very companies, again, he claims to be fighting, flies around in his jet. In fact, Gary Knoll did a recent expose on Gore and the new Gore film. Very, very on-target expose, and I salute Gary for doing that. So I encourage people to listen to that analysis of Gore's new film. More half-truths and more hypocrisy from Mr. Gore. But the actual climate situation is far worse than Gore is stating. And in regard to making profit off it, that doesn't mean the disaster is not real. We all need to remember that. Many make profit off wars. Does that mean the war didn't happen? No. In regard to the damaged ozone layer, here's a headline I want to weave into this. Hot car deaths reach record numbers in July. 29 children have died this year. Let's link that one to climate engineering. In fact, if we got down to it, we could link so many sources of mortality to climate engineering, it would be unquantifiable. From the massive respiratory issues happening to everybody around the globe, the toxification of our soils and waters, crops crashing, starvation. Not that there's not other sources of anthropogenic damage to the climate, but when we look at, or the biosphere, but when we look at climate engineering, it's so all-encompassing, so lethal, that the amount of people already killed by climate engineering is immense. But back to the hot car deaths, the massive UV radiation that's saturating the planet, much more penetrating source of heat, heating cars and surfaces faster, perhaps catching some parents off guard. Feel the surface to your car when you have clear sunlight, some sort of metal surface, and feel how hot it is. It's not your imagination. It's getting worse fast. More headlines. I'm running short of time. As a river dies in India, India could be facing its greatest human catastrophe ever. Crops dying up, rivers drying up, and people starving to death. Africa, India, it's happening all over. And in regard to drought creation, the single greatest causal factor, climate engineering. View a film called Global Dimming, or Dimming the Sun, excuse me. It's called Dimming the Sun. It's posted on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Just scroll down the middle column, and you'll see Dimming the Sun. And watch that, and you'll understand that the particulates being put in the atmosphere are having an immense effect on the hydrological cycle, causing massive droughts all over the globe. So we see this surfacing everywhere. And it doesn't mean we wouldn't have climate troubles without climate engineering. We would. But climate engineering is making it far worse, not better. Another headline, farmer suicides rise in India as climate warms. Study shows warming temperatures trends over the last three decades have already been responsible for over 59,000 suicides throughout India. 59,000. We don't hear about that much here, do we? Also, Monsanto's genetically modified seeds that were forced on that country are responsible for many of the farmers' deaths. Another headline from Scientific American, forget that big iceberg. A smaller one in the Arctic is much more troubling. Why is that? Continuing from the report, the world saw headlines about one of the largest icebergs ever calved a few weeks ago, Larsen C Shelf, but a smaller one on the other end of the globe could have bigger consequences. Here's why. because this chunk of ice that's just broken off, which we didn't hear anything about from mainstream media, is the buttress for massive amounts of land-based ice that will now continue to slide into the ocean. If you don't think it's happening, examine sea level rise and ask yourself how the seas can rise if the ice isn't melting and filling the oceans. Very simple. So check Miami flooding, and you'll see where Miami is continuing to run 24/7 $500 million worth of pumps and pumping infrastructure to try to keep their streets from flooding because the ocean is rising. And this is how absurd it is. And Gary Noel, by the way, in a report he did on this, did a good example of this as well. Miami's pumping this infiltrating water back into the bay that separates Miami from, I believe, South Beach. And how absurd is that? You're pumping the water right back into the place it came from in the first place. And isn't that, let's give the boat example again, as Gary Noel did. It's like someone in the front of the boat bailing and throwing the water in the back of the boat and thinking it's going to make a difference. It doesn't make any difference. It shows the absurdity of the human race. Why would we build so many massive habitations at sea level knowing that there's enough ice in the world that would certainly have to melt when you fill the atmosphere with greenhouse gas? There's enough ice in the world to raise oceans 240 feet total. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's happening fast. Don't believe it? Please research it. Don't believe me? Please research it. Now, another headline, I want to go through this quick because I'm almost out of time. Climate change will almost certainly heat the world so much it can never recover, major study finds. This is the kind of data that's coming out that I said would come. It's far worse than the former mainstream media headlines stated because they were trying to pacify the population. But now you have some in academia starting to show some courage to tell the real truth. We are through the guardrail. There's no going back. We will never know the planet we've known in the past if we're lucky. And we all pull together, we may in fact salvage some of the Earth's life support systems. I'll get to how we can help in a moment. Another headline, how a climate crisis can turn into a food crisis overnight. It's happening now. It's not coming, it's happening now. People are starving to death all over the globe, and that's going to accelerate radically as the conditions on our planet become exponentially more harsh in the geologic blink of an eye. With climate engineering helping to fuel the fire. No benevolence in climate engineering. It's a weapon of power and control for those in power. That's all it is. And for those in academia that are pretending that this deployment of climate engineering hasn't happened yet and that it will somehow provide us a means of preserving life on Earth, that couldn't be further from the truth. And I ask those in the climate science community, please show some courage while you can, while it still matters, and tell the truth. While it matters. Again, I state this on the state of the climate or any discussion of the climate. You can't have a legitimate discussion on the climate without discussing climate engineering, and you can't have a legitimate discussion about climate engineering if you're in the anti-climate engineering community already, unless you address the engineered cool downs and the chemical ice nucleation factor. The walls are closing in. It comes down to where your next bite of food and your next drink of water is going to come from. That's what you'll be most concerned about. Not your long-term investment, not your retirement, none of which is going to matter very soon. You can quote me on that. So here's the question. How do we individually take action? How do we contribute to the all-important fight for the greater good at this all-important moment in time? And again, there's very detailed suggestions in the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. But here's the bottom line. If we truly care about the greater good, about the future of our children, of the planet, and all that matters, we must each do our part. Arm yourself with credible data, flyers, credible articles, and information, and share it with others, family, friends, local businesses, the list is endless. GeoengineeringWatch.org is trying to help provide these materials now. It's a lot of extra work for us that we can scarcely manage, but we're trying to provide materials like flyers, our new 20-page color glossy booklet, and so forth, because we can print massive amounts of them and pass those savings on. We're just trying to cover our costs with getting these materials out. So we're a source of materials if you choose to get credible materials from us, but find credible materials somewhere. Share them with others. Help us to sound the alarm. And using emails and social media to share credible data is also so simple and so necessary. Get off the bench and help. The fear of being shunned or rejected by your family and peers must be overcome. It must be put aside. Why are we here? If not to do our part for the greater good, if not to fight for the future of our children and for the web of life, what's it all about if not this? And however dark the horizon looks, We, each of us, are only responsible for what we do or what we don't do. What's your part in this incredible experience called life? What part will you choose to play in the drama? Will you choose to dedicate yourself to the fight for the greater good? Such are the questions we must all ask of ourselves. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.